Savagyan, because you know everything. Sharadanaya, because I am not envious but have all faith in him. Visritam, in full detail. Translation. O great sage, who know everything about Krishna, please describe in detail all the activities of which I have inquired and also those which I have not. For I have full faith and I am very eager to hear of them. There is no purpose, so we can continue to text 13. Naishadi du shasa chunmam tyaktoram api bharate pibantam tvan mukam boja chutam harikatam ritam. Because of my vow on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water. Yet because I am drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. To prepare to meet death in 7 days, Maharaj Parikshit gave up all food and drink. As a human being, he was certainly not hungry and thirsty. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami might have wanted to stop narrating the transcendental topics of Krishna. I think I've said it wrong. He was certainly both hungry and thirsty as a Vashun. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami might have wanted to stop narrating the transcendental topics of Krishna, but despite his fast, Maharaj Parikshit was not at all fatigued. The hunger and thirst from my fast do not disturb me, he said. Once, when I felt very thirsty, I went to the ashram of Shamika Muni to drink water. But the Muni did not supply it. I therefore wrapped a dead snake over his shoulder, and that is why I was cursed by the Brahmana boy. Now, however, I am quite fit. I am not at all disturbed by my hunger and thirst. This indicates that although on the material platform there are disturbances from hunger and thirst, on the spiritual platform there is no such thing as fatigue. The material world is suffering because of spiritual thirst. Every living being is Brahman or spirit soul and needs spiritual food to satisfy his hunger and thirst. Unfortunately, however, the world is completely unaware of the nectar of Krishna Katha. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore a boon to philosophers, religionists, and people in general. There is certainly a charming attraction in Krishna and Krishna Katha. Therefore, the absolute truth is called Krishna, the most attractive. The word Amrita is also an important reference to the moon, and the word Ambuja means lotus. The pleasing moonshine and pleasing fragrance of the lotus combined to bring pleasure to everyone hearing Krishna Katha from the mouth of Sukadeva Goswami. As it is said, Matina Krishna Parato Svatova Mito Vipatyeta Griha Pratanam Adanta Gobir Vishatanta Mishram Puna Puna Sharvita Chavananam. Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to material life make progress towards hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations towards Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. At the present moment, all of human society is engaged in the business of chewing the chewed, puna punas charvita charvananam. People are prepared to undergo mrityu sangsaravatmani, taking birth in one form, dying, accepting another form, and dying again. to stop this repetition of birth and death, Krishna Katha, or Krishna consciousness, is absolutely necessary. But unless one hears Krishna Katha from a realized soul like Shukadev Goswami, one cannot relish the nectar of Krishna Katha, which puts an end to all material fatigue, and enjoy the blissful life of transcendental existence. In relation to the Krishna consciousness movement, we actually see that those who have tasted the nectar of Krishna Katha lose all material desires, whereas those who cannot understand Krishna or Krishna Katha regard the Krishna consciousness life as brainwashing and mind control. While the devotees enjoy spiritual bliss, the non-devotees are surprised that the devotees have forgotten material hankerings. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyari Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Gadadha Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Na Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The text reads, Naishadi dusha sakshun mang chokthadam apibaddate pivantam tvan mukam bojam chutam harikatam ritam. Again, the amazing effect of hearing Krishna Katha is described here. Certainly thirst and hunger are very pressing. But it seems Parikshit Maharaj was not at all fatigued by both hunger and thirst due to his full absorption in Krishna consciousness. In psychology comes a part where reality is discussed, and it is made the point that whenever you believe something, that belief becomes for you the truth, and there are certainly indications for this. How people live in a world of make-believe, their own world, where they are for some time the lords of all they survive, and also the victim. We do know that people are intensely controlled, especially in Kali Yuga, where they are disturbed in their minds by their thoughts, and often they remain bound a prisoner in the prison of the mind. That I think we have heard, and we don't need to discuss this here in great detail. Now, it may be argued that because Parikshit Maharaj heard the Krishna Katha, he also was conditioned. But that's not a fact according to our philosophy. The spiritual sound vibration of the holy name or talks about Krishna have a very special effect. They don't put you in an illusion. See, someone who lives in his own make-believe reality will never become free from the effects of the modes of material nature. Whereas someone who does hear about Krishna very soon become free from the influences of the lower modes, that is, hankering and lamentation and lust and avarice. That's one point which is important here. In other words, Parikshit Maharaj, it cannot be argued that Parikshit Maharaj just believed in some religion in a sentimental way. No, you can see the effect of hearing Krishna Katha, that is, that he actually transformed. He didn't feel hunger any longer, although his physical body certainly must have, you know, functioned like any normal thing. In other words, it's a realistic thing which happens and not just some imagination. Anyways, this is the first point I wanted to make. The second point for this morning is actually, let us just consider one more point, just following the point already made. In the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear about Ajamil, who heard the name Narayan and chanted the name of Narayan at the hour of death. So if Narayan would have only been just an ordinary name in which you can believe or not believe, then why did the Vishnu Dutas, the servants of Lord Narayan, came? You follow the point? If religion is only something imaginary, it will only go in your, will be only realistic or reality in the space between your two ears, in your imagination, one could argue. But since religion, this is our point, or let us better say Krishna consciousness, is an absolute reality, something happens on an absolute platform. That is, even though you don't believe in it, even though you do not have any connection, so to say, still there is an absolute effect. Jamil's life is an example of this. He called Narayan intending to get his son to come to him, but the Vishnu Dutas appeared and saved him from death. It's a wonder. He was dying. He was actually already dead in the sense that his soul had been forced out of the body. However, due to the influence of, due to the Vishnu Dutas who were there, he was saved and his life was renewed so that he could go on performing his activities necessary to come to the platform of self-realization. So this is a very nice proof, so to say, how Krishna consciousness works this bite of us, we could say, trotz unserer Unvollkommenheiten in Deutsch. So the second point is of this lecture will be the continuation of yesterday's lecture about Puranjana. May I just remind you for a second on what we have heard so far? We heard about a king who was in search for his queen and finally attained her. This queen also brought him into a city of nine gates, where he took residence in a palace in the center. He had 1,100 sons with her and 110 daughters, lived there quite happily. So one day a terrible general was seen before the gates of the town and attacked Puranjana's pleasure abode. However, he could not be killed, the general, nor could his soldiers be wounded. And strangely enough, they just took stones and bricks from that, from the town. Not more. They didn't kill anyone. So this is where we stopped yesterday, and we will continue here. One day, something totally awkward happened. Puranjana was just sitting alone in the hall where his throne stood when he heard a knock. "Come in," he said. The door opened and he saw a beautiful lady. "Who are you?" asked Puranjana. "I've never seen you before. You look like my queen looked in her better days." "My name is Kalakanya," she said. "May I dance with you?" "Of course," said Puranjana. "Who wouldn't like to dance with beautiful bodied girls?" She took him up and they danced a dance macabre till the next morning. Then Kalakanya threw him onto the sofa. Not to do what you expect, but to just look at him ferociously. He felt very weak. His breath was going very deep with mucus. All his power had left him, and he felt weak and near to his death. At this, when Kalakanya saw him helplessly sitting on his sofa, she smiled, and in her smile he thought he recognized a dead skull of a lady. Then she disappeared. At this moment, without knocking at anything, the hall was lit by a very transcendental light, and as he looked from his sofa, he saw the mysterious person he had met several times before. "Puranjana," said the unknown friend, "you have wasted your life. Now you only have very little time left in the city of nine gates. Like an animal who only followed the dictates of his senses, you have been engaged in enjoying the nine gates of the city, frequently going back and forth with your beautiful queen. What have you done with your life?" "Ah," said sorry, I'm making this as a recording for. Anyways, this remains a secret until. Puranjana looked at him quite tired and said, "What are you saying to me? Why do you always interrupt and my life. Tell me better something practical. How could you enter into this palace? The best of my guards were guarding it all the time. How is that, the unknown friend? I am already everywhere. I do not need to go anywhere. Ah, said Puranjana. You don't even exist. You are not there. Come on, admit that you are a non-entity. But the unknown friend smiled at him. It was a mixture of sadness, but at the same time, he was unconcerned and disappeared. The moment he disappeared, there was a terrible noise outside the gates. Puranjana hardly managed to leave his sofa and look through the windows what had happened. And as he looked outside, he saw that the general and his soldiers who used to stay outside the city ran in his town. Everywhere they came, they put fire. His residents were running and screaming. His people in the town were running and screaming. The houses were burning. And they came running into the palace. Puranjana screamed for help. He ran up the stairs to the upper apartments to look for his queen. But she looked up from her bed in utter shock and terror. Whilst he was running to the other rooms, Chandavega, the powerful soldier, general, came after him and seized him like an animal which is brought to slaughter. My dear sons, energetic and young, and daughters in the prime of your youth, come to my aid, he screamed. But as Chandavega was dragging him forcibly out of the palace, no one answered him. Only the flames which were devouring his beautiful town with its garden before the gates, only the crackling of those flames answered his terrified scream. Chandavegya dragged him for a long way into a destination which we will not talk about here. That is an entirely different story. So, alright, this is now this has been the story so far, which we tell in this modern, the story of Puranjana, of which you have just heard the second part, which we tell in a modernized way. At this time, the audience is a little bit moved by the story, but does not fully understand. The art of storytelling, if it is done properly with knowledge, is a language which reaches the person without his defense mechanism or on alert. In other words, the information which is very difficult to pass by his false ego can reach him in a better way. And since this story is from the Vedic scripture, an analogy told by a self-realized soul, it does reach persons in a in a way, they are a little insecure after having heard the story and wait for the next thing. And the next thing now, they have open questions which they are actually not able even to formulate. The next thing, what is done now, can be done now, if one wants to use this as a story for preaching, is the Auflösung, the explanation of what has been heard so far. And I will do this now. I will again jump back into action. I'm not lecturing to you, but to a hall full of conditioned souls who are not acquainted with the philosophy and practice of Krishna consciousness. So what can this all mean? I'm back in action again. What can this all mean? Puranjana is the living entity, the eternal soul, who resides within the material body. Like our hero in the story, he is possessed with a great desire to obtain a partner, which he does find in the form of materially contaminated intelligence. Without intelligence, that's an interesting point to note, the soul is not able to move. I'm not telling this to a public audience, but here I think it is of help for the assembled Vaishnavas to note that the soul, the super soul, has been explained as the supplier of intelligence. It's called the form and direction giver. Without intelligence, you wouldn't be able to even leave this room, but would desperately look for an exit when you hear the bell, the prasadam bell. The intelligence is supplied by the super soul. However, in the case of Puranjana, he had material intelligence. Just like Puranjana in the story followed the queen in both its her happy moods and her distressed moods, the helpless living entity totally enters a relationship of utter dependence on the material contaminated intelligence, which becomes its guide through the material energy. Just look at yourself. You have come here following your intelligence. You might have seen, this is what I tell to the people, a poster, or heard and spot in the radio, or in the saw a thing in the TV, an advertisement, and you became inspired by the intelligence to come and go here, and made all the arrangements, like buying a ticket maybe, or using your car to find the venue where this program is held. So this is why in this very perfect example, the Puranjana becomes a slave or a follower of his queen, the material contaminated intelligence. So as we know, Puranjana was brought into a city of nine gates. Who or what could be this city be? Earlier, I think I forgot it, in fact, we have explained that the city had nine gates. two of these gates were called were directed towards east, and through them there was two streets. There were actually two streets extending from them, called Qing, who led directly into the Garden of Form. There was also two gates which were directed towards south and west. Through these gates there were streets coming called Hearing, who directly led into the Garden of Sound. In this way, well, and then there was one very darkly lit road. That lit road went through a gate which went to the northern side, and that road was called Touch, and went directly into the Garden of Lust. Puranjana became a frequent traveler on this road, and especially in the darkness of the night, he was often enjoying this road with his beautiful queen. So who could be, what could be this, what could all of this mean? I think the audience here knows it, but what is nice is to give the question into the audience. Who could, what could be this, could this mean? And then they begin to think actively. Well, a road called seeing, leading into the, coming from gates. What seeing comes from? The eyes and the ears. So what could the city be? The body. Yes, it's Puranjana lived with his queen in the city of nine gates, like the living entity lives with his intelligence in the body. The two gates called the eyes, the ears, the nostrils, the mouth, and then two gates underneath the belt, under the Gürtellinie. So, Puranjana became an enjoyer of these nine gates. Now, who could be the general and his soldiers who began to attack the town? What is constantly attacking us and resisting all our counter-attacks? That is called Chandavega, the time, who came accompanied by his soldiers, the moments and the minutes and the seconds. This is a very important point to note. Constantly our material bodies are attacked by time, and they are perfect machines of deterioration. Actually, at this point, you know, because I don't want to, I feel I have to entertain my audience a little here. There's an interesting story which we heard in Zurich. Once there was a man who had pleased Yamaraj and as a result obtained a boon. And he asked Yamaraj, can you please, before you go and get me, send me a message that my time has come. So Yamaraj said yes. But after some time, he just stood before the person and said, now you have to go immediately. Don't wait. Come with me now. No, said the man. you had said you would send me a messenger who would give me advance notice. I have not only sent you one messenger, I have sent you 3 messengers. First, your hair became great. This was my first letter to you. Pete has already gotten a letter of Yamaraj. Heavy. The second is, your teeth began to become loose. That's the second letter of Yamaraj. The second message of Yamaraj. And third, was war das dritte? Hast du gerade Pool? Ja. Du warst, ja. Muskel. Sickness. Heavy. That's what was the third message. No, your bad eyes. I'm sorry. Bad eyes. Failing eyes. Hast du auch? Ja. Madhavendra Puri has also gotten a message. Please finish your book before. We want to have it. But you were so absorbed in material life that you could not hear. Now it's time for you to come with me. So, this general of time is constantly before us. We have constant experience, but because we don't want to see it, we want to continue with our lives as if that factor would not be there. Therefore, we are ignoring the messages constantly. Cannot become serious. As you know, she had a daughter. He had a daughter, this Chandavega, the daughter of time, called Kala Kanya, who asked him for an absurd dance. There is a very nice shloka in this very nice poem in this connection by Surdas, which goes like this. Now I have danced enough in the ball dance of material life. For this dance I was dressed in the garments of vanity. I had a turban around my head called self-deceit, and I was dancing down the steps of bad association. The constant drumming which accompanied my dancing was the incessant rain of my lusty desires. Boom, 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 boom. But now, my dear Lord, I see that time is approaching fast. Please be merciful unto me and accept me into your dance of joy. So, Kala Kanya danced with him for a long, long time. And then threw him onto a sofa, and after being embraced by her, he was weak and destroyed and finished. So now comes the prime question: who was the unknown friend? And you will be very interested to hear, as devotees, that many times the people begin to guess wrong, but then half right. They usually start with the soul, but then I say, no, no, the soul is already Puranjana. That means they didn't understand, those who say like this. Then I say, what is always coming to us and speaking to us, giving us advice? And then they think, and then they say, conscience, Gewissen is the Deutsch word. And this is actually a very nice answer. The super soul speaks to us in the form of intuitions, in the form of conscience. You know, we feel intuitively. I mean, all the karmis have experience of this, that sometimes the feeling, go to this person and avoid that person. And it's always right. In Krishna consciousness, you can even make an experiment in your own life. I mean, we should not make an experiment on the super soul, but you, sometimes, this is a rule in Krishna consciousness, don't act until you really know that you should do that. Now, if you are in a question, in a position where you purify your intelligence and your mind, you will see how the super soul speaks to you, especially when you control your material senses and your mind as a result becomes a little calm. Just ask the super soul, what should I do, my Lord? I'm bewildered. I cannot move from this stage where I'm presently on, but I know I have to go on. I have to travel onwards. And you will see how, from the heart, an answer is coming in the form of an intuition. Some clear-cut knowledge. Yes, this is how we should do it. I think our Manavendra Puri Prabhu can tell us interesting stories interesting account. He is struggling with a very difficult subject matter, desiring to make it intelligible, and it's sometimes difficult how to express things or what way to go in proving a certain point, and so on. So often nothing comes, but all of a sudden, chung, it's there. So that super soul is the unknown friend, and he should be followed. We should not become masters in the ignoble art of ignoring, which leads to ignorance. But begin to listen to the super soul. Most of the people are not willing to listen to the inner voice. They just want to ignore the super soul. But it is no chance that there is interest in spiritual life amongst the people and faith. That all is given by the super soul. Do you know that the faith in Krishna consciousness and Shastra and a spiritual master that comes from the super soul, who sees someone seriously desiring to advance in his life? So the story of Puranjana, one way of reading the story is really that one should return back to sanity and listen to the unknown friend within each one of us. So, for devotees in Krishna consciousness, this means to become a little bit desirous to know what Krishna really wants in their life. If we want to, often we as devotees desire to have a serious step ahead. We want to really leave our present conditioning and do something wonderful, or at least not feel any longer the pangs of desire and boredom, also Wünschen und Langeweile. If this is our case, we should know that Krishna has stepped from out of our heart on the altar. The deity is Krishna himself. He is not the super soul, but he is also Krishna. And he waits for help. Radha Madan Mohan are standing here. They have mercifully come into our little community as the center. They are giving darshan every morning at a remarkable early hour of the day. They are there to live with us. We, or better, not to live with us. This is really bad. This is really Maya to say like this. I wanted to express it in a different way. They have certainly no interest in our... I mean, they are on the transcendental platform. They don't share our worries. But they are here with us, and we can, live with them. This is the invitation of Radha Madan Mohan on the altar. Come to the transcendental platform of Krishna consciousness. This is the invitation. Good. Hare Krishna. I want to end here. Thank you very much for your attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Do you have any questions regarding this? This means that the king had hundred sons and 110 daughters. These are the reactions to his material activities. This is how it is explained. Just karmic reactions. Shiram, hast du eine Frage? Kannst du Englisch verstehen? So eine allgemeine Idee hast du davon, nicht? Ja? Kann er Englisch verstehen? Oh, wirklich? Richtig, daher. Sorry, ich denke immer, du bist ein nur Deutschsprecher, aber du sprichst ja Englisch auch. Zum in die Hosentasche stecken. Noch jemand? Someone who enters into puberty, I mean, this is only my educated guess, I must say, comes into a very important age. In puberty, one psychologically begins to understand that one is his own man, so to say. One doesn't define himself any longer or herself any longer just as a member of the family or as a son of this man and this woman who are my parents, but one comes to understand that he is eine eigenständige Persönlichkeit, is a personality on his own. And at this stage, one really has to be some Krishna consciousness which comes not because my parents do it or my parents tell me, but because I want to do it. I have seen with our Gurukul children, I think Astarada Prabhu knows him, this Ramachandra. He wrote me a letter just a little while ago where he said, I want to live with a girl. I want to look cinema. I want to hear rock and roll. And it doesn't work if you tell me, don't do it. See, and we were all totally shocked because he had worshipped everyday deities, gotten up early. He was the star of Villa Vrindavan, Gurukul, the boys. But he had done so because others expected him to do this, not out of himself. Or if he did it, if there was some desire to do it, then the desire was to gain the recognition of his superiors, his mother, his father, his whoever, he respected. So our children have to somehow come to the stage where they do something in Krishna consciousness which they really want to do. And when it comes to the puberty stage, then there must be a project which they like. And that's the task of our movement, of the parents and the movement, to give our children projects where they can feel enthusiastic and inspired for. I think this one boy, Nilamba, he likes the bus program. Oder das machst du gerne? Von dir aus oder weil du musst? Von dir aus. Gut. Ecstasy. So he will be saved when his voice goes when he begins to speak, sound like a monster. I mean, when his voice breaks, I wanted to say he will always sound like a Gandhava, but when his voice breaks, then that's what saves him. Ram will auch schon mit, nicht? Auf Busprogramm. Noch nicht so ganz überzeugt. Mal sehen. Kannst du schon mal mit Gadata Vorsprache nehmen, ob er dich. Vielleicht bist du zu dick hier, dass du nicht durch die Tür reinpasst. Von dem guten Versalam. This will be the last question. Yeah. We need to have something which we like. Yeah. We need to have a project. Yeah. We need to have a project. That's why we chant Hare Krishna, actually. I mean, that's one of the reasons we are praying to the Lord to engage us in His service, because outside of the service to Krishna, it's extremely difficult, if not impossible, to maintain Krishna consciousness. That has been explained in the Madhurya Kadambani, that sometimes devotees who get older in Krishna consciousness, they become skeptical. They think, I was so enthusiastic in the beginning. I was getting up, I was showering and fasting, no problem. I mean, that was always, that's not the point. Or surrendering, even I was going out on the book distribution, although this is almost impossible for me to conceive now. And we think, what's wrong with us? We are now so dull, so unenthusiastic and uninspired. That the process not work. Well, it has been explained that there are different stages of devotional service, and one is called anishta, or unsteady devotional service. On that platform, utsahamayi, that is a false enthusiasm, is one of the symptoms. The example of the Brahmana boy has been given, who gets a book and becomes very enthusiastic. I also have a book. I also can read, although he does not know the Sanskrit alphabet. In other words, his enthusiasm is not because of the contents or the wordings of the book, but due to some external reason of having a book like the grown-ups, die Erwachsenen. And therefore, he is very, very enthusiastic. But his enthusiasm will wane again. That's one point when we get Brahman initiation. In the beginning, we might very carefully chant our Gayatri mantra. I will now say something because some of us are Brahmanas by initiation. And we feel new and we sit in the corner and chant the mantra. But because we are not really up to the standard in our lives, after some time the enthusiasm for chanting the mantra drastically reduces, and whenever we sit down, the mantra at best is some mumbo jumbo, Greek salad of syllables which we don't even notice because our attention is somewhere else, like salad eater. Wenn man jung ist, ist das okay. Mach ruhig weiter. So therefore, it's not always good if Brahman initiation is given too early, when the required qualifications are not there, because often it is found that the devotees don't really utilize that initiation in their spiritual lives. And it becomes even the cause for further offenses in the realm of inattention, and it is more harmful than than really beneficial. Or it's just there's no use, and it becomes just an outside thing. So we need to pray to get a project in our life, something we can identify with, like a multivision show, for instance, or working with preparing some Krishna conscious texts, something which we can identify with. And then, while we perform our devotional service, we will go through two stages. One is just the enthusiasm because of the activity. We tend to be outside external people in Kali Yuga. And then the next stage is, that's better, we are enthusiastic because we actually feel we serve Krishna.